This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Welcome to the Rosecast, the number one Bachelorette recap podcast hosted by a male and a racial best friend duo. AB, I'm stretching a little bit. It's been a long couple days with this 4-hour finale.
You a little gassed, Rim?
A little gassed. My thumbs hurt from cranking out the tweets. I gotta tell you.
The tweets were firing.
Listen. I'll say what I'm gonna say about how this was presented to us, especially on Monday. But kind of knowing maybe how, not being spoiled, but kind of knowing how it might play out allowed us to prepare a little bit with some pull some necessary clips. So I had some stuff in the chamber, as they say. AB, what do you think? It's over. The season's over. Hannah's journey maybe isn't over. What'd you make of these two nights?
Tremendous television, Rim.
Yeah.
It was like the Ari situation a little bit. It reminded me of that, but it had a more happy ending for me.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but I felt good at the end of this. I'm not sure why I felt that, but I did.
And didn't feel that way watching Ari and Becca. Ari and Becca was
exactly
good, but it was kind of like voyeuristic watching a car crash a little bit. This was different. This was I don't have a good analogy for it, but this was a more enjoyable car crash.
Well, I think the difference is no one wanted to see Becca get what she got.
She didn't deserve
People
that.
People wanted to see what happened to Jed happen to him.
Good way to put it. Here's what we're going to do. So first, regrets. Rim and AB regrets from the season. I wanted to record our reactions to Monday night on Tuesday and then put like mash it and then record the second half of our episode as a reaction to Tuesday night. We didn't have time to do that. So the first half of our notes are from Monday's. We're going to recap Monday's episode. Okay.
Yeah, that's what you came here for.
That's what you came here for. We're not going to stop doing what we do now just because of circumstances. So we start Monday in Crete, Greece, picking up where we left off at the rose ceremony.
Mm-hmm.
Peter, Tyler, and Jed are, you know, celebrating. They're doing like, they look like the Three Ninjas. I don't remember that movie very much. You remember the movie Three Ninjas? It was like the brothers.
Yeah,
and they had like
movie.
Probably some dances and handshakes, I imagine. I haven't seen it in forever. But they're all excited. I'm like, hey.
That's the one with Tum Tum, isn't it?
That sounds familiar, yes.
Yeah.
But they were very celebratory is my main point. And one of them is going home. She's got a decision to make.
Yeah, the dust hasn't quite settled yet from Luke leaving, and the guys haven't quite realized, like, one of you is going home. This isn't a good situation for any of you yet. It's nothing to celebrate. You could be on the same flight home with Luke, in fact.
The roses go to Jed.
Wow.
First rose.
That was stunning to me.
Really?
I was stunned. Yeah.
Okay. And Tyler gets the second rose.
Wow.
Peter does not get a rose. Go ahead.
I thought it was interesting, before she gave out the roses, she said, I have three men here I can see myself starting a life with. Which life do I want? Well, I don't always think about it that way. Like, which life? Maybe I have three good options here, but which life do I want? You know?
Yeah.
It's not necessarily who do I like the most. Which life is the best? Because I think she has three, or she thought she had three good options at the time. On paper. All three good options. So maybe at that point you're splitting hairs and it's just like, which do I want to live in Nashville? Do I want to, you know, maybe that's what breaks the tie for.
Sure. Easily the hardest no rose of the season with Luke. It was a borderline final rose dumping
with Peter,
reaction
Peter.
With Peter. You want to talk about you want to talk about a mistake.
Wow.
That's a mistake. I meant Peter. Like we said, and like Hannah said during their talk, Peter was always her Ken doll husband, the guy she always dreamed about pushing a stroller. I think that was his undoing, AB. What do you think?
I don't fully understand it. If this is what you've always dreamed of and then you finally get it, why don't you just go with your dream? Maybe it was. Maybe that's not what she's looking for quite yet, is that husband, that Ken doll. I wonder, Rim, if the pilot situation, I'm holding on to the what life I want. Now, as the resident pilot expert here, Rim,
yes,
I'm going to speak on
Mr.
the topic.
Mr. Aviation, please do.
I've
been waiting for your thoughts.
A pilot's significant other isn't one of the easier things to be, easier jobs
might
for your
be
significant
an
other to have. It seems like they'd be gone quite a bit.
Yeah.
So maybe she says, which life do I want? I don't want to be a pilot's husband. I think that'd be
interesting.
Fair.
I like that. I like that. Especially now that he's a commercial pilot, he's probably gone
most
days of the week. Yeah, flying around. And who knows what happens if he's flashing that rolly in the cockpit? Who knows what's going on?
If I know anything about pilots,
no. Okay, you can continue that sentence, listeners. It's false, but funny. My main takeaway here, it was weird to see Peter cry. I felt bad for him because he had to get in a fucking van and not a suite. Like, they couldn't get him a Tahoe. He's got to, open a van door like a cab at the end of the night.
And it wasn't one that had the automatic doors. Like, he had to put the old van. You have to put a little something behind it to swing it open.
Listen. I grew up in vans, went many, many years without getting in a van. Van doors, once you loot, it's not like riding a bike. You look like an idiot opening a van door if it's been a while, okay? And also just not a lot happened here, but it was great, great television, I thought. It reminded me of that big moment in the Truman Show, I think, when either Truman figured out he was in the thing. You ever seen the Truman Show?
Yeah, I've seen the Truman Show.
Well, I mean, it's one of the great movies of all time. You're acting like, forgettable. Flick.
I'm okay with Truman Show. Oh. Not my cup of tea.
Not many
really.
People are indifferent to the Truman Show.
I'm indifferent.
Point is, the music came up at the right time. Whoever was in charge, the Kristoff of Bachelorette, killed it for this scene. It was beautiful.
Okay.
Back in the studio. Do you have anything else on that?
No, I just thought it was tough to watch.
Yeah.
I thought Peter was really heartbroken, and I think he actually was stunned by this. He was shocked by getting let go. I think he thought he had it in the bag. I think he really did. And it's understandable if he had sex four times, a couple days ago.
Well, spoiler alert, AB, that we haven't gotten to that part yet. But
listen, if he thought that, if that happened.
That would lead one to believe.
That would make me think, okay, well.
I'm ahead of the curve
here. Are you kidding me? It's over. What are we even doing here? Are you kidding me? It's over.
Back in the studio. We're going to go fast because I have 10 pages of notes and we usually have six. Back in the studio, Peter. Chris asks him, are you okay? He's not, of course. Tough to watch. Tough scene in the studio.
Hey. Before you jump into that, you saying you had 10 notes got me thinking of something, Rim.
10 pages, yeah.
10 pages of notes. People have come to expect us to go long, and they think it's
that's
a gimmick.
Bad. No. It's
no,
not
it's
a gimmick.
Legit. We don't force this at this point. Like, it kind of seems like, they're just dragging it on,
no,
I bet.
I'm vehemently shaking
for
my
the
head.
Gimmick. No, this is real. This is real life.
Long.
It just gets longer and longer every episode.
I can't explain it.
I don't mean to do it. But here I am with more notes than ever. I
makes
don't
no
know
sense
what to tell you. And
tonight there's two episodes, but literally, This is facts. Every time we finish recording, we hit stop, and AB goes, "Jeez,
this is not a gimmick." I just wanted to. I feel like I needed to say that because it feels like a gimmick, but no, this is not a gimmick. Not. Every time, I'm genuinely stunned when I see the time of our recording.
Listen, I hate going long, and also I can see when people like a graph of when people stop listening. Towards the end is the answer. Like, if people drop, the longer it is, the worse it is for us. So I don't
can't have an hour and a half podcast. People don't have
this
the time
be an hour and a half.
For it. This is gonna be 2 hours.
Yeah, I just want to respect the listener's time. I don't like going long. Period. And it takes forever to edit. Listen,
I thought we should say something to the listeners. We don't mean to. It just happens.
Yeah. Thank you. Anyway, Peter's parents in studio. His mom killed this AB. She knocked this out of the park. She's bawling. I felt like, oh my god, that could be my mom crying with dad right there. It was great TV. She was a mess. Also plays into how much she's into this franchise, but it was a scene. What did you make of the parents there?
I don't remember the parents being there in the past,
especially for the third place,
for the person that just got their heart broke. Like, if Tyler and Jed didn't have their parents.
No.
At least they didn't show them. So I thought that was interesting to see. I liked it. I thought they should have all the parents. Like,
yeah.
Bring all the parents to this and let's get some real fireworks.
Yeah.
Let's get some dad fireworks wanting to beat up someone.
I would love if Hannah's parents were there and her dad was like, "Jed, you want to throw down?"
That's exactly what was crossing my mind.
Peter hesitated to tell Hannah how he really felt, because he knew it was possible they would not end up together, which is interesting because he did seem 100% confident after their overnight date. So even though he waited until basically the day before to tell her how he really felt, but it seemed to me like he regretted not saying something sooner.
Yeah, I agree.
Hannah comes out. My main takeaway here at the time was that the door is still open for Peter.
Okay, Rim, no, it's not.
It's
no,
not? It's not. Did you not see the way? Come on, those two were basically holding hands.
It almost seemed like buddy-buddy at this point. I don't know.
Okay.
Like shared experience. I don't think there's any ill will on either side.
Oh, no, of course not.
I think they're both pals for life, but I didn't sense the romantic spark was still there.
Could have misread it. I just think I was comparing it to other times that the lead comes out and talks to the person who we just saw is heartbroken, second or third place, whatever. Usually they're like happy to see him, but it's arm's length, physically and emotionally. You know, more of a muted smile.
Sure.
I saw a glimmer in the eye. I got to tell you, AB, what were you going to say?
I was just going to say, I think this more so than ever, Peter got this far in the season, and I still think that it was a very good breakup. Like, it wasn't a bad breakup. Even though he did seem to think he had it in the bag, he still handled it really well and didn't seem to... He seemed to understand, you know, you had three good guys there.
Yeah.
You had to make a choice, and it just wasn't me. So I think they just ended it well.
Did you pick up on anything in Hannah's behavior that hinted at what the final result would be for the season? Because I did.
I did not, no.
Okay. Read between the lines, AB. Here's one thing. Hannah said she was scared she might be letting go of the perfect guy. And someone in the audience goes, "You did!" And then she kind of laughed and shrugged and she's like, "Well, you know, like, he's better than the one I ended up with." It was pretty obvious. And then just the fact... The windmill reference that Chris made, which, by the way, I think, strangely, Peter's parents were, I think, over the top pleased. Oh. It was a little too pleased.
I didn't fully understand. The mom was hooting and hollering like a fan in the crowd. Like, obviously, the crowd's going to erupt at that revelation that they had sex in a windmill four times. But the mom was, I would say,
I would not have been comfortable. Listen, she... Everybody's family is different. I would not have been comfortable in that moment. And it was a little strange. His mom clapped like he just made the game-winning shot in the big game. It was just like, okay. But not only the fun part of that, I don't think Hannah's the one that said that. No one asked her. She said it. I don't, that made it clear
to me. If she was still engaged.
If she was engaged, there's no way you would say that. None. Yeah, it's in very poor taste if you're still engaged. So at that moment, I was like, okay, this is obvious. And then basically everything Chris said the rest of the night made it, I think, obvious.
Okay. I didn't think about that, but now that you say it, yeah, I agree.
Tyler meets the family, okay? We're back in Greece. Tyler with Hannah's mom. He's confident. He's complimentary. He's handling the situation. It's clear to me that he loves her. What did you make of Tyler's performance with the family?
He did great, Rim. He knocked it out of the park. He's respectful. What did you expect, though, Rim?
I mean, it's very on brand
everything
for him,
everything he's done. Yeah, it's very on brand for Tyler to be an awesome guy.
Yep.
That everyone loves. So nothing surprising here.
Tyler's dad basically opens, or Hannah's dad, excuse me, basically opens with like, so I heard you guys didn't do it in the fantasy suite. You cool with that, bro? And he's like, of course, Tyler handles it as well as anyone could. Hannah and her dad. Hannah reveals here that when Tyler reacted when she delivered that news about the fantasy suite, that's when she knew, okay, I actually do love this guy. Which was a new revelation. Hannah's mom loves Tyler. Tyler fits in. They like him. He's natural. Everyone he interacts with, it goes well.
I mean, by not having sex with his daughter, I don't think you could provide a better present. Like, he brought the roses to the mom and he didn't have sex with her daughter for the
dad. It's got
to
feel good. It's got to
feel good for pops. Yeah, first guy I meet. Good. Nothing happened to the fantasy suites, Mike.
It's all about connecting. A bench outside the crib. Hannah tells Tyler she's falling in love with him. She's gotten over there's lust concerns, you may remember. I never thought I'd be this excited about Tyler, she said. Maybe, now, that was strange to me. He's in the top two.
Well, I think a lot of people, Hannah included, just thought Tyler was this pretty slick boy that, doesn't have a lot going on
is just a bunch of smooth
lines. But it turns out he's just a guy with smooth lines that's also a great guy.
Yeah. The smooth lines might obscure how good of a person he is.
Exactly.
Because you kind of roll your... I was guilty of that. I remember early on in the season.
Oh, for sure.
There at the mansion, I was like... And then you were like, I like Tyler. I'm like, what? This guy's a throwaway. Yeah. I had no expectation that he'd make it this far. But
I mean,
he did.
To
he
be honest, who would have thought it would go like this for Tyler? I mean, even I liked Tyler, but I didn't think he was going to make it this far. He kind of, nobody grew as a character, as a fan favorite in this show.
He's the most eligible bachelor in the world right now.
Yeah, everybody loves this guy.
Jed meets the family. So that goes really well. Long story short, that goes very well. As expected, Jed meets the family. Hannah's mom is in love with Tyler. So this is a problem for Jed is because they already met Tyler.
It's a big problem. You go after Tyler. Tyler's very energetic. He's charming. He's... nice.
Magnetic.
He walks into a room and you know he's there, but he doesn't. It's not too much because some people can be too much, you know, over the top peacocking. But no, Tyler's perfect. He's the perfect male. And then you have to follow him as a guy with no electricity.
Ugh.
And you have a secret that's burning a hole inside of you, so obviously you're not like yourself 100%. So it's a tough situation for Jed. You gotta look his dirt dad in the eye knowing you have this other stuff going. That's one way you need it. It's interesting to think back and just think of Jed, you know, has this
it's
secret
insane.
This whole time that he has to go through all this stuff. It's horrifying.
We'll get to it later, but honestly. You could look back at any scene in this show that he's in and be like, what are you thinking?
He's sitting down with the dad of the girl that he's about to... He's going to have to propose.
And tomorrow. And he's just...
To look the dad in the eye, he knows that things are going to blow up. Like, eventually, things are going to blow up, and he knows this. So he's looking at... He's lying to all these people for months.
Let's go through the interactions. He basically has no... All that said, especially given her mom's attitude toward Tyler, he has no shot when he walks in the door.
No.
With the family.
Well, I hadn't thought about the job thing.
I didn't really either, but that was the whole,
yeah, I mean,
that was all
sense.
This was about. Yeah.
It makes sense. They're like, he didn't have a good answer for.
Okay, let me talk about this, AB.
Go for it.
Tells him he's a musician and a songwriter. Okay, typical response might be, oh, that's cool. Like, that's great. You're following your passion, pursuing your dreams. You're still young. You're 25. But the Brown family was like, oh, like instant raised eyebrows, skepticism. Hannah's dad starts off their conversation basically like, all right, so you're poor. What are we going to do about that? It was tough.
You
start off at a disadvantage. Yeah.
Let's care to comment.
I am looking at you. I doubt you can sing. What else you got going for you? And here's the main thing. Jed is completely incapable at delivering his message effectively. Okay. He was not prepared to give a rundown of whatever highlights he's had in his career, whatever developments are going on. He probably himself has a positive outlook on how it's going, the future. And, you know, maybe he finishes with like a realistic understanding of what he'll need to do if it doesn't work out. But he wasn't ready for any of that. Instead, he was just like, well, you know, music. So anyway,
he also says, so Richard, you know, digs in a little bit, pokes at him a little bit.
Yeah.
How are you going to make money? Jed says he wants to have as many avenues as to make money as possible.
You just got to elaborate. You're talking touring, you're talking album sales, you're talking merch, you're talking commercial.
Yeah,
look how easy that is to like sell
easy.
That.
Like,
you know?
I could have sold what he was doing a lot better. By just leaving it as, I want to have a bunch of avenues, it makes you seem like you're jumping from job to job,
yeah,
and you're never going to have any
or
money.
Or you like want to have some real estate or like do stock.
Yeah,
like,
you're
going to
dabble in
specific.
A bunch of, yeah, something.
He says, my most major accomplishment is I signed a deal with a dog food company. Now, people roasted this, okay? He delivered it like an idiot because he delivered it like, this is the best I could possibly do, dog food. And that comes off as like, oh, Jesus, my daughter's not marrying him. Let me be the first to say, I would do an ad read for dog food with no hesitation, okay?
No doubt about it. I'm sure.
We are open for business, dog food companies of North America.
Absolutely. Now, Rim, did you hear the dog food jingle?
Yes, let's get to that at the end.
Get to that later?
Yes.
But to your point, I bet that actually was a really big deal. Like, He probably made a bunch of money. Like, I didn't. When he said that, yeah, it was. It came off bad because he's an idiot.
Exactly.
But I bet that actually was a big deal.
Of course. He said it in a way that made it seem like he should be embarrassed for that. And then he just delivered it. He was just like, dog food's the pinnacle of my career. It's as high
nothing,
as I'll get.
He said nothing about like doing ads and stuff, you know, that being part of his plan is, you know, writing jingles for different companies, which is respectable. But
so somebody's got to do that.
It
by
just
the way.
Came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
He started the conversation talking about his music career. And when you hear that, you think of being a performer or writing songs for, you know, A-list musicians or whatever. Yeah. So when you say that and then just randomly burst out like, I also got this dog food thing.
That's all I got.
It comes off bad. He just didn't present it well.
Exactly. Listen, maybe he wants to be a big music star. Okay. Maybe that was his goal. Maybe he does just want to write songs and you start writing jingles. I want to say somebody writes jingles for commercials and gets paid handsomely for doing so. That's not like a laughable gig.
No,
you know what I mean? There's
a lot
of commercials and a lot of jingles and a lot of stuff to do. Did a little research. Brad Pitt, before he got his start, was in a Pringles commercial and he had no lines. Okay. Wow. Courtney Cox, a tampon commercial. Stephen Colbert used to do commercials for a regional bank in Nebraska. These people were in their 20s all doing this. So you could argue that Jed's like ahead of the game, especially for country musicians. Some of them get a late start.
Now, let me stop you here, Rim. I don't want us to come off as Jed apologists here.
I feel like I'm coming off as a Jed apologist. What are you going to say?
No, I'm saying I don't want us to come off as Jed apologists,
no.
So I'm going to stop us a little bit.
I'm saying he delivered this news worse than anybody could have possibly. He handled this so poorly, it was breathtaking. What are you going to say?
No, that's all. I didn't have anything to say. I just wanted
He was not prepared. He blew this.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. I'm just saying, like, that's no
that
small
part
thing.
That's no big deal. The dog food company thing, I didn't take that, like, a reason to roast the guy.
No, but he just delivered it like it was. He, like, set himself up to be roasted for this. It was crazy to see. He has no charisma, no charm, no ability to think on his feet. And that doomed him with the family. Here's how Hannah's mom described him when she's talking to Hannah. Well, he has qualities.
Qualities?
Just qualities.
He's got some bad qualities. That's what she meant.
Jed's dad to Hannah beat her. Hannah's dad to Hannah said Jed beat around the bush a little bit. Stretches things out a little longer. No direct answer. He's calling him a liar, basically. He knows he's hiding something. And then Hannah's dad with the shade, as they say, he said he was real proud of that dog food jingle. Like, God damn,
let the guy live with the dog food.
Can the guy get some? You don't even know what the check was, bro. Could have been a big check. God damn, you're killing him.
Relax on the Jed love rim.
It's not love. I'm just saying this was just so insane to see. Hannah leaves the family meetings confused. She's freaking out. Obviously, she liked Jed more. This is how I took it. But the family put that doubt in her mind. Like, this is not the guy.
You know how it's going to go. This happens on Bachelor all the time. The family likes one person better. And it's almost always... I've never seen it where the family likes the person that's going to win. Like, the person she likes the most is never the person that the family also likes. So, as soon as she started... I mean, the family... gave you their opinion. Like, why'd you even bring him here if you don't want our opinion is my thought if I'm the dad.
Some people made some parallels between Hannah's family telling her Jed's not, you know, hint, hint, Jed's not the guy, and other guys in the house telling her, hint, hint, Luke's not the guy. You know what I mean? Like, and then she heard these things and just kind of didn't want to hear it because she already had her mind made up about Jed and then Luke previously. So Tyler one-on-one date. Daytime. They go horseback riding. Big Z's, triple Z's on this AB. I got almost nothing on this date with Tyler.
We already saw the horseback riding. Like the fun Tyler Hannah horse thing. It's passed.
Things go well. That's what I have.
Of course they do.
Nothing. Tyler one-on-one date nighttime. I guess there was a little something here. Tyler wants a family. There's kind of a big talk. He might name his son after me. I don't know if you picked up on that. He's going to play basketball. Hannah's on board. You make me the happiest I've ever been, and I don't see that changing, AB. Wow. These two are making out. Anything on this date? I mean, imagine making out with Tyler. That would be something.
Hannah also says it's almost like he's that perfect guy, the one that you want to introduce to everyone.
Somebody you can be proud of.
Okay.
Hannah says, I could see being in his arms forever. I mean, scandal aside, you're really going to pick Jed over Tyler?
I think it's a good time just to look.
Take a pull. Step back a little
bit. Let's step back and look down on this situation from up above. Okay, so we got Tyler, who's the perfect guy. She said it, not me. She said it.
Okay. Right.
I also said it, but she said it. I have said it, but she said it. Perfect guy. I could imagine being with him forever. He's got a great job. He's fun. He's
sincere.
He's
caring.
Sincere. He's great looking.
Smoking hot.
Passion is there. What is missing?
What's missing?
And then you got this other guy who his family told you he's not ready to get married.
Yep.
Your family told you they don't like him as much as Tyler. Don't marry him.
He doesn't have juice. He's not funny.
The personalities don't seem to match.
No.
Which is okay, I guess. He's worse looking. I don't want to compare guys, but
no, we'd never do that. But you just
I wouldn't
did,
do
so.
That. What are we seeing here? I'm just confused what the choice even is.
This comes up in the mailbag, and I think part of that can be attributed to we spent so much time on Luke this season that we just didn't see enough of the person she ended up picking. So even though I'm with you on everything, we don't even have enough content to look back on and point to and say this is why they fit together, because there wasn't enough time spent on them. Before the break, after this date, Chris reminds us that what we just saw doesn't matter because Jed wins and he has a girlfriend the whole time. He basically said this stuff on Monday. He said, what happened after we stopped filming? It's an ending no one expected, least of all Hannah. It might not be a fairy tale ending. You didn't pick up on these hints, Alex?
I
hope she picks Tyler. Like, come on.
At that, going into the last day, for some reason, I still thought Tyler was going to win. I really did. Just because I think I couldn't comprehend how she would, like, there was no reasons that she would pick Jed. There just wasn't in my head any reason she would pick Jed. So, yeah, I still thought Tyler was going to win.
The only way I thought Tyler was going to win was they leaned so hard into it being Jed that I almost felt like they were trying to throw us off the scent a little bit. But then I remembered the cozy relationship they have with People Magazine, and I figured they wouldn't kind of disparage that story. Anyway, Jed date, daytime. They go on a sailboat. The waters are choppy, though. I feel like Hannah's hungover, so it's not that fun. Anything on the daytime?
You ever got seasick, Rim?
Yeah, I mean, going on the water terrifies me. I don't get really seasick unless I'm in a small boat, which I'm not rich enough to ever be in. So I would, in this scenario, I would get seasick, yes.
Yeah, it seemed choppy. Okay.
It was choppy. Checking. The show was choppy.
Hey, just checking.
Of course I get seasick. I get seasick. Think, what are you kidding me? I would get seasick looking over the thing and down into the deep, deep waters that would swallow me alive if I fell off the boat. So, yeah, that's, I am scared of the ocean. Do you want me to say it? I've said it before, I'll say it again. Jed date, nighttime.
What did you say?
Okay, well, you got it out of me. Big shocker. Jed date, nighttime. He can't picture his life without Hannah. I've never had it make sense with anyone. I've never considered it.
Your voice makes me remember, I forgot to write this down, what his voice and cadence reminds me of. He sounds like Beavis of Beavis and Butthead.
Yes, yes, queen.
I just
Beavis.
Remember that when I was watching. He sounds like Beavis, okay? Go back and watch Beavis.
Beavis is the brown-haired one, right?
I don't know.
I think Beavis is the brown-haired one. First off, in fifth grade, if you came to school...
That seems like your type of show.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was.
I had a Beavis and Butthead run there. In fifth grade, if you showed up without being able to talk about what happened on Beavis and Butthead last night, you were an idiot. You just did not fit in. Now, I don't want to say this. I don't want to say this. And I'm not going to. But if I did, I would say that there are some physical similarities. Okay. Okay. That's just, I don't, that's not something I would say. Okay. Nighttime. Jed would love her no matter where she was or what the circumstances. Hannah doesn't know who she's going to pick. Okay. You know, since this Jed news came out, we've been thinking, obviously he's going to try and get out of it. That's what we thought his hometown date was he's trying to get out of this.
Yeah, let's get out of here.
We thought, okay, he missed the window of opportunity to send himself home, like someone like Clay, for example. We thought, okay, he's in too deep. How's he going to get out of this? Because he has to get out of it. But he keeps going the whole time, and you're starting to think, maybe he doesn't want to get out of this. Devil's advocate, maybe this scandal is not, in his eyes, what it seems to be on the surface. Or maybe he's...
Controversy creates cash?
Controversy creates cash. Well, that's, you know, I just didn't know. At this point, I started to lose a handle on what his strategy could be. Like, why are you still? You got to lose, Jed. You got to lose.
I think, you know, it'd be hard for me to do something. I wouldn't do this. But like, if I was in this deep,
you just so deep,
kind of try to keep pushing back the bad thing that is inevitably going to happen to you. You know, like he knows. What's best case scenario, I guess? There's still a possibility his girlfriend doesn't ever say anything, but that's an unlikely situation. So he knows likely at some point he's going to have to face the music here. So I think he just kind of was scared of facing that music the entire time, and he wanted to just keep pushing it back. And eventually it got too late, like, he couldn't just leave the show and ruin. He couldn't just leave at this point. He's in too deep.
Yeah.
He just waited too long, I think, and was scared of the repercussions of his actions and never wanted to face them and didn't want to believe he was ever going to have to face them. That's the only thing I can think.
I have another possible theory. It's probably a blend of everything. We'll get to it when the confrontation happens. Okay, Hannah is in studio with Chris to wrap up this episode. Will Hannah get what she deserves, or will it be the most shocking finale in Bachelor history? AB goes to his Tyler poster after the episode's over thinking he's still got a chance. Chris, he does it.
Chris gave some, would you call it chilling advice to end the episode? Like,
what did he say? Get some sleep tonight?
Bachelor Nation, if you've ever listened to anything I've ever said, get a good night's rest tonight. You're going to need it.
Here's what Hannah said, too. He's like, Hannah wants to say something. She goes, since that last day in Greece, the past couple of months have been really tough and emotional. You're just not saying this if you pick Tyler, period. Really tough and emotional. I know there are a lot of rumors out there, and tomorrow night, I don't even know what's going to happen. But I have a lot of questions that need to be answered.
But she could still be saying that if he got second. This is me apologist. me apologizing yeah, for me yeah. still Spin believing zone. Tyler was going to win at this point. Yeah.
Well, here's the other thing you need to keep in mind. Most people watching probably had no clue about this. I mean, 9 million people watch this show. I'm not sure 5 million of them read the People article. It's possible.
So there's a good chunk of people, there's a good chunk of people who don't even know anything about the Jed stuff.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Because we interact with podcast listeners. If you listen to a Bachelor Recap podcast, you're a super fan of The Bachelor. Okay, so you got to understand that there's a massive amount of people who are just like, watch the show on Mondays, and that's all the content they consume from it. So I got to think.
That's fair.
I think maybe their thinking was they knew the real drama was coming on after the final rose, so they didn't want people to turn it off after, you know, whoever wins at the end gets the rose, because they're like, ah, I'm good. They were hyping up what was coming hour two Tuesday night.
Sure.
Anyway, okay, night two, moving right along. Chris starts with...
Hey, before you start into this, Rim, you think if you get tickets to night one, you get tickets to night two?
I saw this, okay. It's hard to tell. I did see one distinctive-looking man kind of towards the front. That was in the same seat both nights.
Oh.
So I think that's probably the case, yeah.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Chris starts it off with, I don't know, he struck terror in my heart a little bit.
That's what he said. That's what I felt at the end of the last episode. I was like, whoa.
Here's what he said. Blah, blah, blah. We also see the massive destructive forces of lies and betrayal. It was like,
wow.
Jesus. Serious. This is no longer a lighthearted, fun show. No.
Someone's life's getting ruined.
Yeah. I mean, if there's a hell, Jed's going to it. Stay tuned. We also see a proposal that, in retrospect, can only be described as cringeworthy. They at this point,
okay, at that
they
point,
want
yeah,
us
I mean,
to know it's Jay.
Listen, at that point, that's when I realized, okay,
all right,
we're done here with Tyler. It's unfortunate.
Crete, Greece. Hannah says she's been falling in love with Tyler and Jed throughout the journey. I'm old enough to remember when falling in love with two people was like unspeakable.
Taboo.
A rarity. Taboo.
Yeah.
Now it seems like
every season
you have to.
It almost basically started with Ben Higgins. And since then, it's been every single person has been in love with multiple people.
My first season, by the way. So if I watch an old season, it would be strange to see a singular love. A quick note about Jed picking out a ring with Neil Lane, who hasn't aged a day since I've seen the show. He picks out one that's an oval. This one represents our love more just because of the oval shape. It's kind of a constant, and we've been constant. I'm no geometry major, but of all the ellipses, an oval is the only one that isn't constant. You're thinking of a circle. That is constant distance from the center. An oval kind of changes speed. You know what I mean?
I hear you.
Okay.
No, I'm with you.
Thanks. Neil's looking at him like, never heard that one before. The oval's a constant. Interesting.
The only thing I could think of when they're picking out these rings, I don't even think I heard what you just said there. I was just thinking of Luke showing up with that piddly ass little tiny ass ring last episode. Hey. Like, she's going to take that little ring. Again. Yeah, right.
Imagine her, again, not his ring, not his idea, but imagine her being like, yes, this is the ring I want. This is what I signed up for.
This is the ring when she knows that there's like $1 million diamond ring coming around the corner.
On the way to the proposals, Hannah freaks out, shakes her head, asks the driver to stop the car so she can get some air, trips on a crack in the streets of Crete on her heels. That would be a very strange sight to see if you're just driving by, you know, going to do your job and you see the friggin' bachelorette on her in her wedding dress, just sitting on her ass, thinking.
I thought it was funny, Rim. The producers run up to her. They're like, are you okay? Are you okay? It reminded me of myself, Rim, with a little kid, because then she holds her elbow up. There's no blood. There's no damage. This is exactly like my daughter, Isabel. I'll be like, oh, are you okay? And then she'll be like, oh, I need a Band-Aid. No, when there's no blood. There was nothing wrong with her elbow. I looked at it. There was no blood there. She's like, oh, you see this?
Do you put a Band-Aid on it anyway?
Yeah, you put a Band-Aid on it anyways.
I'd say no. You're fine. No harm, no foul. No blood, no foul. No,
I'd say she has a Band-Aid addiction. That's all she's doing it for is the Band-Aids. And that's what Hannah reminded me of.
Well, you guys probably have like, you probably spent extra money on the branded
We got tons of Band-Aids, all different options and colors.
Listen, Band-Aid, if you're listening, we have slots open.
We do have slots. Okay. It's good. Princess Band-Aids.
Tyler steps out of the limo first. That's a harsh transition, but Tyler steps out of the limo first, and no. you know what that means. And you can tell it's him because the shoe sock pant combo is effortlessly stylish and perfectly tailored. When that shoe came off, I'm like, oh, that's Tyler. I think he looked giddy to be there. He wasn't overconfident. He's just excited to make it official with Hannah.
I think
he always
has
the right disposition for the moment. Yeah. I think. What do you make of his speech?
He starts giving a really good speech. No surprise there. I liked that Hannah, I feel like she did a good job of cutting him off at the appropriate time. She can't just stop him at the start.
No.
You have to wait, but then you also don't want to be cruel and like get close to the actual engagement part. So she did a good job of stopping him. And Tyler knew exactly what was happening immediately when he was stopped.
He says, this isn't it. That was a good line.
This isn't what's good. Yeah, that's a good line too.
All right. I agree with you. You don't want to let him get down on one knee. I feel like some bachelorettes have done that, which is brutal. But it seemed organic. It was the best of Tyler. You know, there were some lines, but it was authentic, sincere, heartfelt. It was very Tyler. It was beautiful. Hannah did, I think, contractually, she had to let him get through some of it.
Yeah, absolutely. I saw when she told him his face, it was true devastation, Rim, and that made me sad.
Yeah.
I think he was really in love with this girl.
Now, as Jonathan Van Ness would say, he was serving devastated looks, though. Like, he looked, when his like, when he'd look off to the side, he would, you know, he'd bite his lower lip, and you're like, damn, even when Tyler is crushed, he looks good, he's killing it. Okay?
He's doing it, yep. When she said, I love someone else to him, that's when it really hurt. Me and Tyler.
Yeah. Well, she said, when I said I'm falling in love with you, I meant it. And then she's like, but in terms of the love tears, I'm one higher with Jed. That's what she said. She's the ultimate. Yep. I'm one higher with Jed. I love Jed. Classic Tyler fashion. Wishes he handles nothing but the best.
He handles it better than anyone I've ever seen. He says, I'm still going to be your biggest fan rooting for you. How do you say that?
Well, he must have known Jed had a girlfriend. He was like, this is going to come crashing down. Don't worry. Yeah. No, maybe he
didn't.
This
man was raised right.
Sure.
Okay.
What did you make of him? I was kind of surprised when he said, wishing nothing but the best with you and Jed. He said his name.
It's class. Ram, it's class on top of class.
I'm not sure I'd have the strength to do that. Be like, well, good luck.
Exactly.
All right.
I'm not saying that fucking guy's name. No way. But Tyler, who is one of the classiest people. I cannot believe where we're at with Tyler, how popular he is in my head and in the world's head.
Yeah.
And it's deserved. This guy's incredible.
We'll talk about this later, but as a pro Mike for Bachelor fan, I'm getting a little nervous.
Okay. I hear you.
One thing about Tyler, here's my put a bow on Tyler. I never doubted his sincerity at any point, okay? I made fun of his lines, especially early. The whole time, there was never a point where I thought Tyler didn't actually really like Hannah.
I
never thought he was there for the wrong reasons. I never thought he just came on the show to promote his modeling career, though who knows, whatever. He was sincere start to finish. I do think the bar was a little low later in the season. I love Tyler, but he was put up on this ridiculous pedestal because he was respectful, whereas I think a lot of other guys, if they were in the same position as him, would have reacted the same way.
Well, you have to remember too, I mean, he got kind of lucky too, in the sense that the other pedestals beside him were kept lowering. Like, he had Luke and Peter and Jed. Those are the final three. So you've got Luke, who's in the dumpster already. Then you have Jed, who just keeps his freaking pedestal just keeps low and almost lower than Luke's. And then Peter has a story come out. So the only one that was unscathed by anything outside of the show was Tyler. And he ran with it.
He exceeded expectations. He did everything right from my view. But he was, you're right, because you're comparing him to the Scuzz Buckets.
Yeah.
You get that extra boost. I think he's great. But I think I saw something, I think, on the Bachelorette official account. Called him a feminist icon, and I'm like, geez, you're a nice guy for a couple minutes, and you're the highest, you're the iconic ideal man. It's like, listen, he's a great guy, but it's not that hard to not be a scumbag. And also, Mike would have done the same thing. Mike for Bachelor. Okay, moving on. That's my main takeaway there. Okay, time for Jed to come out. Can you believe he brought his guitar? Yeah. I know we shouldn't be surprised, but I could not believe my eyes.
There was
when I
a
saw
collective
that.
Bachelor Nation puke when he
Come
stepped
on,
out
dude.
Of the when he stepped out with that guitar. Are you kidding me?
This is not a Whose Line Is It Anyway skit. This is a proposal. You don't need a prop.
What do you have that guitar for?
I mean,
are you kidding
way to make
me?
It about you, frankly. Like, got the guitar, like, hey, now shout out to him for having the cojones to walk that long way with a guitar, not knowing if he might get rejected and even have to, like, drag his guitar back, like, you know, Snoopy in the blanket or whatever, Linus in the blanket. He doesn't even hold both her hands during his speech because he's
got
to hold the guitar with his other hand.
He's got a fucking guitar, Rim. He can't hold her hands. It's absurd.
Hannah. I wish I were, like, off to the side. I'd been like, Hannah! He came on the show to promote his music. He told you that. And now he brought a guitar to your proposal. Okay? Abort. This is not going like you want it to.
I mean, was this his fifth time with the guitar?
At least.
There's like half the episodes he's had his guitar out. It is so clear what this man is doing at this point.
You want to hear my Jed music take?
I would love one because I got one too.
Galaxy Brain. It's not about the quality of his music. It's about his intentions. So based on what we find out about his past relationships later in this episode, I'm starting to think he doesn't love music with all his heart. I'm starting to think he loves what music does, i.e. just bring your guitar everywhere, pretend to sing pretty good, and hook up with chicks. I think he's used the guitar as a tool most of his adult life. This is, again, based on what we learn, how he describes his previous relationships. Anyway, what's your take?
Listen,
or does it fit in later?
No, it doesn't. Right here, I'm going to talk about the lyrics, Rim. He wrote this song. It pains me to say this, Rim. They were beautiful lyrics. I don't know what else to tell you. If you gave these lyrics to, you know, Thomas Rhett or friggin' Brad Paisley or
deep
someone.
Deep cut with Thomas Rhett, AB. Wow. What about Kane Brown? Brown? Huge Kane Brown guy. Me.
I'm okay with Kane Brown.
Country snob.
Anyways, you
okay,
give this to Kane Brown. You give these lyrics to Kane Brown. You're talking about a smash hit that they're playing at weddings for years and years and years. Okay, the lyrics were beautiful. They were touching, Rim. The guy's got some talent in songwriting. Okay, I don't like to say it, but that's just the truth. You want me to be unbiased or biased here?
I always want you to be unbiased. Also, am biased too, because that's funny. If he has a future in music, it is in songwriting, though, because obviously he's not going to sell out shows because he's the most hated man in the world. Well, not only the voice, you can get away with a bad voice.
And he's hated, yeah.
He's hated. If he's a good songwriter, though, it doesn't matter if you're a good or bad person. You're behind the scenes making money writing songs for people. I think if the lyrics were that good, I didn't know because I was like banging out tweets, but if the lyrics were that good, he's set.
Rim, that being said, if there was a Jed concert in, like, if he came to Des Moines, I would go.
I wouldn't go. Kidding me? No.
Sorry.
I'd go if it were within walking distance and free.
Not for enjoying music, just to be, it'd be very funny to go to a Jed concert.
It would be funny to boo. Actually, it'd be disrespectful. Be nice to artists. Okay. Jed asks Hannah to marry him. She says yes. And if we didn't have the scandal, I think it would have been an okay moment. Not a great moment because we didn't know Jed that well from on screen. Mm-hmm. And most people, I think, even without the scandal, would have thought she had other better options.
Agreed. Yeah, I mean, even the celebration was subdued. He's just kind of a boring guy. Like, he doesn't have that juice. He doesn't have that charisma that you're usually looking for, which is fine, which always makes me wonder, like, how would I be thinking if this off the screen stuff hadn't happened?
Yeah.
I don't know that I'd be mad at all at her choosing Jed. Like, there's,
you'd be okay with it, I think.
I'd be fine with it. But with the off screen stuff, that just pointed a magnifying glass on him this whole time. So I was watching him even closer.
And that's kind of why we had to talk about it. I didn't consider it a spoiler, but we still had to. That's how people were viewing the show once that news came out.
Yep.
Before the break, Chris says Jed is about to face the music. He'd been sitting on that one for a while. side note, you might not notice this. Pop superstar Demi Lovato was in the crowd.
Oh, I noticed, Rim.
But they didn't even mention her. She was sitting next to Demi from Colton's season.
Yeah.
Two Demis. Didn't acknowledge her. I'm like, you got the big, you got the
superstar back here.
Put her name up.
Yeah, a little strange that they didn't mention her. It's become clear this season that she's been watching. I've read a lot of as I'm doing the, you know, the.
Well, did we talk about her and Tyler as a headline of the week? Maybe.
No, not her and Tyler. Her and Mike.
Mike. Sorry.
Yeah,
sorry,
I brought them up as a headline of the week. She's been in multiple headlines as I've been scrolling through headlines over this
Super
season.
Fan.
She's a fan now.
Behind the scenes iPhone video moment. Jed trimmed his beard. That's not great either. To the camera, Hannah starts talking about how real they both are with one another.
Wow.
Now, I was watching this footage, them dancing, you know, in Greece by the pool, hanging out. And I thought, I mean, what do you want him to do? Turn down all these accommodations? I mean, he's made it this far. He might as well just keep rolling with the free hotels. Hannah's words to the camera, during the second night after we got engaged, Jed told me that he'd been hanging out with this girl before he came to come on the show.
Uh-oh.
Said he broke it off a week before the show, said it was nothing. Okay. Now, right away, the fact that he waited until after you're engaged, until the cameras go away, to say, oh, I had a girlfriend before, but it's no big deal, don't worry about it. That to me is like, It sure seems like I should worry about it. Otherwise, A, you wouldn't tell me, or B, you would have told me a long time ago.
If it was nothing. And even if he wanted to do it off camera, they had, you know, fantasy suite time.
Yeah.
12 hours, you could have told me this.
Yeah.
It's very deceitful at best.
At best.
At best, it's deceitful, and he's hiding something from you.
Then the People article comes out.
Uh-oh.
The article included texts, details about what was said the day he was leaving for the show, getting on the plane.
Not good details either.
No, I forgot about this. He wrote like a personal love note the day he left the show, a literal physical love note. It's clear he did not end the relationship before coming on the show. Okay. Lie detector test determined that was a lie. Now, Jed meets Hannah once this news breaks at her fire accommodations in the Hollywood Hills, I imagine. I don't know about you, AB, but I knew this was going to go extremely poorly.
Oh, yeah.
As soon as he knocked on the door. He did the Pop Goes the Weasel knock. It's like, read the room one time, Jed. This is not a fun knock situation. This is a somber knock situation. You're in trouble.
It wasn't Pop Goes the Weasel, but it was a funny knock.
Yeah, it was. He went, Pop Goes the Weasel doesn't sound right, but he did Yes, but you can't change the note, but it was that cadence.
Yeah, he did the cadence on the door. What the fuck did you think this was going to be?
This is when I started to realize he doesn't get it.
No, he doesn't, and he must not have watched Becca's season. It looked like the same exact location. Like,
yeah, it wasn't, but I know what you mean.
If they're bringing you to a random house like that, you're probably in some trouble.
You're in trouble. The People article came out.
People are like recording you when you step out of the car. Did that happen on any of your other meetups with her, Jed? Something might be going on here. And it was after a People magazine came out.
I mean, imagine going to the principal's office and being like, bup, 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 bup. What's going on, Prince? Been a minute. Yeah, well, you're expelled, sir. Why you came in so gleefully. He starts off with, now after a People magazine article comes out exposing him as a trifling ass, you know, no good. He starts off
Busta.
With Busta. Starts off with, miss you. Do you think she's gonna give you a hug after that? No. I don't want to go. I don't want to parse every single thing he did, even though I have in my notes here. I don't want to do that. We don't have the time. The look on his face throughout this interaction, in some of his logic, his defense of his actions.
He doesn't.
It showed me he had no grasp of the seriousness. He did not understand how big of a deal this was.
No, I don't think it hit him until really late in this conversation that this is probably going to be it for you and Hannah. Like, I think he thought this was going to be okay. And I don't know why he thought that. So what you did was, you get broken up for most of the time.
He did kind of stroll in there like, let me get out of this real quick.
Yeah. I mean, let's get this over with and we can finish the weekend we had planned.
Exactly. I mean, I said to the TV, I'm like, do you understand what engaged means? That's that's like the number two relationship power rankings thing. Like, that's a big deal.
The other thing, Rem, and I don't condone lying, okay?
Of course not.
You can at least make it sound a little better than he didn't have anything.
No.
It was just like he just told her what happened. He didn't seem to grasp what he was saying isn't a good thing.
He said a lot of stuff and he was like,
he just
well,
said
at least
it.
I'm coming clean. And it's like, well, it's still terrible.
That's what you're saying. It's horrible. At least try to put some, like, not lies, but reasons behind why you think.
Maybe sprinkle in some apologies throughout.
Something other than just the cold, hard truth. Maybe some, like, reasoning in your head why you thought you guys weren't a relationship. Because everything you're saying. So the big thing was, he said they weren't in a relationship. Didn't think it was an exclusive thing. And then the stuff he said, like, they went on trips. She got him a trip to the Bahamas.
Her parents. They met each other's families.
They went on multiple trips. I don't know about you, Rim, but there's, I don't think it'd be normal for some, a significant other's family to buy me a trip unless we were dating. Like, you're not getting a trip to the Bahamas, Jed, unless you're dating someone.
He was either knowingly lying, which is redundant. He was either lying about thinking it wasn't a serious relationship, or, and I think this is more likely, I think there's something wrong with it. I think he's one of the dumbest. How could you think?
How could you think that's not a relationship?
He said every single thing that was like major relationship, serious, long-term boyfriend, girlfriend milestones. And he's like, I just didn't think it was exclusive. It's like, what? The whole time I was like, what? And then later on, Hannah's like, did you tell her you loved her? And he's like, yeah. And he said it like, well, yeah, but I didn't know what that meant. I didn't get it. I was like, oh my God.
He said like, I said it when I was drunk, but then she's like, did you say it again a bunch of other times? And he's like, well, yeah. It's like, what are you talking about?
I want to say this. I was laughing. I was really genuinely cackling with laughter. This was so funny to see. I just am shocked someone like this exists. He just had no understanding of the seriousness. He had no defense. His main defense was like, yeah, but I mean, I was with a bunch of other girls too. That was his, like, he thought that helped his case. It's like, no, that's worse. That is worse.
Everything you're saying is terrible.
Crazy. Now, I couldn't, like I said, I couldn't tell if he was playing dumb or if he was actually dumb, but it's definitely one of those two. At one point, he kind of implied that the onus was on this other woman, his girlfriend, to end it with him, because it's not logical to keep dating someone who's going on a dating show. He kind of implied that the fact that they were still together was like, well, that she wasn't taking it serious either. Yeah, I was like, I couldn't believe that. I mean, literally zero of what he said. Usually, even with Luke, I was like, well, he's kind of got a point there, or, you know, it's mostly bad, but he's got a point here and there. At no point did I think Jed made a good remark here. It was all just wrong and insane.
No, it was just his story was that he's a scumbag. He didn't say anything else other than scummy things.
I'd say he was closer with this person than he was with Hannah. Would you agree? It seemed like they spent a lot more time together. He told her I loved her a lot more times. It seemed like they were closer.
Yep.
Here's a quote. After I landed and started this whole thing, that was like a goodbye from me. Keep in mind, he texted his girlfriend, I think I love you, as he was taking off. And he thought, well, now that I've landed, we're good. It's over. We're good. She gets it. Quote, it wasn't a verbal goodbye. I ended it in my heart, not verbally.
Like a telekinesis thing, Rim.
Of course, everyone does that.
You just don't get it.
Insane. Now, no legal expert. Pretty sure you can't end contracts verbally or with in your heart. In your heart only. Just assume the other party's on the same page. There was something about how Hannah had pictures of him, two other girls at his apartment.
It sounded like he had
a big party.
Sounded like it was a pool party. There's pictures of him with other girls almost immediately after Hannah left. Some other stuff going on there. Not good.
I think he slept with his girlfriend. I'll refer to her as that. The night before he left.
Yeah.
So I think,
I mean, hey, you got to give it to Jed for being honest, I guess.
He just put it all out there, but it was like, why didn't you say this before if you didn't think it's a big deal?
Do you think part of him wanted this controversy?
You know, controversy does create cash, as we say, Eric Bischoff. But I just can't imagine it, because your career that you hope to have depends on people liking you. People have to like you. Do you think he wanted it?
I just don't know... why he would do, like, why it would end up this way unless he wanted this to happen, I guess. And maybe it's not a music career. Maybe it's just the fame.
I just don't think he just didn't come off to me as, like, a mastermind, a controversy mastermind.
Yeah, that's true.
I think he just got in so... After this conversation, I thought the most likely thing is that he just didn't understand what saying I love you meant, what having a girlfriend meant, what going on trips with alone with other. I don't think he just understood any. I don't think he understood what the bachelor meant. I don't think he understood how serious getting engaged is. I just don't think he understood any of it. I think that's more likely than. I can't wait for this to come out, and I'm gonna.
I don't know if
infamous.
It's that or just more that he was a coward and didn't Maybe. Ever want to own up to what he'd done.
I don't know what it is. It's unexplainable. It's yeah. unexplainable why this person
either.
Did this.
It's probably a combination of a few things.
Let's wrap this part up. He starts to cry a little bit. Seemed forced.
Yeah, very forced.
Hannah brought up something interesting, which is that Jed told his friends that he won rather than got engaged. That's mm-hmm. a pretty big red flag.
That's a red flag.
This is when everything kind of starts to make sense with, oh, well, that's why your family was weird, and that's why you were being cagey, and that's why the music thing kind of bothered me. Jed claims he does not lie about wanting to be with Hannah forever. Tough to believe. And of course, the place went berserk when she took the ring off.
She was kind of fiddling with the ring for a while, too. She's messing with the ring, taking it on and off. Yeah. And then she slammed it down on the table. The crowd went bananas.
It was perfect. Great camera work. Everything was perfect.
Great camera
for this scenario.
Yep.
Anything else on this interaction? It was insane. He is an unexplainable person. His actions are unexplainable. And it was breathtaking and, frankly, hilarious to watch. I felt bad for Hannah, but it was funny.
I loved it. I loved it.
Yeah.
See, my thing, I didn't feel... Like, Becca, I felt really bad for.
Sure.
But Hannah had this whole situation under control. Yeah. And she's the one dodging the bullet. And she's 25 years old, so I'm not concerned about her finding love. So I didn't really feel bad for her. I think she came off really well.
Yes, but...
It sucks.
Main thing is... Yeah. I think she really was in love with him.
That's true.
She'd been deceived. But the main thing is, for me, is like, you're the bachelorette. All you're thinking about is this amazing moment when you get engaged to the man of your dreams.
And it's ruined.
And you want to talk about ruined. Completely ruined for life. You're like... You go down in history as like the bachelorette that got tricked by a couple guys and you had a ridiculous proposal that was a joke in retrospect.
That's true. Good point.
That yep. sucks. But no, she's going to be fine. Back in the studio, Hannah comes out, rapturous applause.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone in studio just watched, you know, her have one of the great girl power breakups in television history, I'd say.
She's very strong, but you can tell she's hurt. Inside,
and Chris wants to remind everyone of that. Chris wants to bring it back to a somber. It was too. It was like a hero's return. Yeah. And he was like, "Hey, by the way, like this is sad. Keep that in mind, everyone. This is sad." Hannah reveals that she's no longer with Jed. Audience goes crazy. I think part of this, the cheering and clapping and that reaction, and probably viewers who are doing the same thing, is because it's been out there for so long. And people knew the details, so they've been kind of waiting for Hannah to give Jed what he deserves.
Yeah.
If you had just seen it on screen for the first time, I think it would have been a more sympathetic, like, oh, that your heart was broken thing. But everyone's just kind of been, like, sharpening their knives.
All right, let's get this guy.
Doing yeah. a Birdman, hands, you know, go together. So they're like, we got to get Jed. So that's what it was like. It was bloodthirsty, AB. Anything else before Jed comes out?
No, I just noted that Hannah had $1 million earrings on. I don't know if you noticed those.
I think last night's were five. Blazow, you know. Well, I'm not. I'm talking about design. I'm more of a design guy rather than diamond.
I'm just
guy,
talking
AB.
About all diamonds. There was a
okay,
lot of
well,
diamonds
yeah, they were
on
Blazow,
these things.
No
right?
doubt about it. They were dripping. As they say.
I don't know anything about the style of them. I'm just saying those were expensive diamonds.
Jed comes out. I'd say six people clapped, maybe max. He's got kind of I'm running for state house. Haircut now. I don't know if you notice his haircut. It's more of an adult. I'm here to campaign.
Well,
haircut.
It's good. He looked like a politician who did something wrong and he had to give a press conference. Like, that's the look that he had. Very nice suit.
Extra product.
Extra. Yep. Looking very clean. Looking like a politician who's in the midst of a scandal.
So Jed's new strategy is to, I think he figured out that what he did was bad.
Yeah.
And he should be sorry for it.
I mean, the only way he could go, there's nothing he could explain. We already saw him give his feelings on what happened and explain it entirely. So there's no explanation he needs to provide. The only thing he could do is apologize. And that's what he did. So I guess I got to give him a little credit there.
You know, it was a decent apology. I think he finally got it. Like, oh, I did have a girlfriend and I shouldn't have come on the show and I should have told you, you know, he finally figured it out. I think he was probably coached into that, but he figured it out. He made no hedges either. There was no loopholes in his apology. So it was fine. It was fine. Anything else on that?
No, Hannah handled it with class as well. She mentioned a couple times, I'm not trying to punish you or, you know, I'm not
high
trying.
Road. High
yeah,
road
she
stuff.
Took the high road there. She's not trying to embarrass Jed. He's done enough to embarrass himself. So I think she handled it really well.
Agreed. Jed leaves. I got more to say on this part of the kind of reunion.
Okay.
Before Tyler comes out, Hannah says, those feelings just don't go away. Okay. The crowd goes wild. Chris Harrison. Whoa.
Taken aback.
Okay. What are you saying? Tyler comes out. Biggest pop in After the Final Rose history.
It's not even close.
They blew the roof off the place, AB.
I mean, Chris Harrison said it right. It sounded like the Beatles were coming out their room. It was just nuts. People were loving him. And he... I was grinning ear to ear, Rim.
It was good.
And there was seemed to be instant chemistry there between these two. Like they hadn't missed a beat.
I will say, wrong tie knot for the collar. I just want to point that out.
Okay,
he had a cutaway collar and he had a four in hand tie knot. Looked ridiculous.
Okay.
What do you make of the insistence of Chris and everyone in the room? You could feel it the whole time he was out there. Everyone was just like, are they going to get back together? People
going
crazy. What do you
make
of
it? We all want it. It makes me wonder if it's actually going to happen. Like, I'm not so sure Tyler is there yet. Like, it can't feel great to be, he was second choice, you know? So I think it's going to take a while. And I'm not saying it can't happen, but I don't think they're going to set up a date on After the Final Rose. Like, this was all for show.
Okay.
But there's something still there. I can see it with him.
Well, like I said, I never doubted his sincerity at any point. But since those events, things have changed. Tyler is now one of America's most eligible and almost universally loved bachelors. Mm-hmm. His DMs are bursting at the seams, to be sure. She just rejected him 2 months ago. He's probably taken steps to get over that breakup.
Yeah.
And they needed to have a happy ending. This was the happy ending everyone wanted. I was watching it and I wanted it to happen, but it did feel a little forced.
Yeah. Do you think there's any chance that they've been in contact and he knew what had happened before this? Okay.
Well, yeah, I mean, he read People, but I think...
But not just what happened with Jed, like that they were broken up. Do you think Tyler and Hannah have been in contact and have breached this topic before of getting back together?
Maybe. I think all the parties involved had to be on the same page, otherwise they wouldn't have done this. You don't want Tyler to reject Hannah's... So here's what happened. Hannah was talking about being bold and all that, and she asked Tyler maybe if they can grab a drink sometime. Tyler agreed. I don't think that would have happened if they didn't know exactly how it was going to play out. I don't think they would let that hit the screen. When he accepted, again, I was excited that this happened, and I hope they do get together. But he kind of looked at Chris like, is this going to ruin my bachelor chances? If I, he looked at Chris. He was like, dude, like what's going on? It was a weird situation. They had to do it though. You have to end on that happy note. And I'm glad they did. Should be noted that Chris killed the term ship at the end when he said, I'm shipping these two. Chris just lingered a little too long on like, oh, you guys getting together? I was like, all right, back up. Let them be people. She's fulfilled her contractual obligations. If they want to pursue each other outside the show, let that happen. Don't make them feel like they need to please the crowd.
Listen, Rim, if these two get back together, it's going to be all over. They're going to be all over it on Bachelor.
No doubt. No doubt. And,
yeah, so I don't blame Chris.
What overall, before we get to the mailbag, what did you think of the season? Start to finish, Hannah is the lead, controversy,
honestly,
all of it.
One of the best seasons I can remember. And I'm not just saying that. I'm really not. It had everything. I thought Hannah was a great lead. It had the ups and downs. Like, we can all say, like, I don't want to watch Luke or whatever, but no, I want to watch Luke. Like, what are you talking about? He was entertaining to see someone. It's entertaining to see people that are ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, I just don't, if Jed and Luke weren't there, I don't know how entertaining of us. I don't just want a normal season. Like, that's not what I'm signing up for on a reality TV dating show. I want drama. I want juice, but I also want them to find love. And I thought we had most of that. We just didn't have the love at the end necessarily, but the final ending of Tyler and that potential kind of smooths that part over as well. So I thought it had everything I was looking for in a season, and I thought Hannah was a great host who maybe just has bad taste in men.
And who might be, it could be argued that is a, might be a little too young.
It goes back
to the great debate, which is, what do you want? Unpredictability from a young lead who's kind of figuring themselves out as they go along, or maturity, but more boring season. I agree with most of what you said. I could have done with, like,
maybe a little bit less
Luke. An episode less Luke, at least, because it was like eight episodes. It was just, it was too much. It took over the whole season. I could have done with less Luke. I also want to say that on its own, this was a fun, exciting, entertaining ending. But this is four seasons in a row now that we have not had a clean, happy ending. Okay, you've got Ari and Becca slash Lauren. Then you had Becca with Garrett, I believe is his name. Forgot his name.
Yeah, Garrett.
But there was, they played it off like happy ending, but there was a cloud over that.
Yep.
And then Colton and Cassie, where they're still not engaged. It was kind of a happy,
that was pretty clean.
It's been a while since I've had this person, I like the lead, they picked who I like, happily ever after. You know what I mean? I wouldn't mind a season like that soon to kind of break the streak.
I just
want to see
careful
it.
Careful what you ask for,
yet.
Rim.
Okay.
That's all okay. I'm saying. I had a great time.
It was fun. Let's get to the mailbag quickly. 773-234-7794. Let's just say right off the top, we're doing Bachelor in Paradise. We're not going anywhere. We're doing Bachelor in Paradise. Not as many people watch that, but we are doing it, so we'll be back next week with those recaps. Mailbag, 773-234-7794.
That was stern. That was like when Chris Harrison
did I say
ended,
that like a
yeah,
jerk?
That,
wow, sorry. I was looking at myself in the camera and I was like, why are you pointing at AB like that?
Yeah, that was Chris Harrison telling us that it's going to, that wasn't the fun Bachelor in Paradise vibes.
No, it wasn't
the summer energy.
It was not. Sorry. I can't rectify that. Last week's question was just reaction to the finale. 860 area code. In the words of AB, you know me. I hate that scumbag Jed just as much as anyone, but I have to come to his defense. He clearly wanted to be eliminated from the show and did whatever he could to show that he didn't have feelings for Hannah. He showed her no emotion and came up with random things to fight about whenever he could. She kept him around for whatever reason. Parenthetical, clearly not his musical talent, and now here we are.
Wow.
This is from Jen. It was so obvious with Chris Harrison basically spoiling the ending the past 2 weeks. Jed couldn't have said anything to make the situation better. But I love the ending plot twist with Hannah asking Tyler out. I'm not sure how I feel about Tyler being a second choice for Hannah, but it wouldn't be the first time the runner-up ends up with the lead. That's a fact. This is from a different Jen in DC. Unpopular opinion, AB. Alert. Like those. I don't think this was all that empowering for Hannah. I think it was more of the same. We said from the beginning Hannah is young and naive, and what happened with Jed was just about as clear to her as what happened with Luke, and she refused to take any useful advice or information until she was hit over the head with it both times, and she had no other choice. Ultimately, I enjoyed the season way more than I thought when considering if I should watch it all. She learned a lot, but always seemed a beat too slow, which I think I might agree with.
I mean, I agree with parts of that. I mean,
sure.
There was definitely when her parents were telling her about Jed and then when all the other guys were telling her about Luke, there was like a teenage girl
rebellious.
You're going to tell me not to date this guy? I'm going to date him. Like, there was a little bit of that vibe, but the way she handled it at the end of the day.
Yeah. There was one point when her mom or dad was saying something and she goes, I knew you were going to do this. And it was definitely like teenage fighting with their mom. This is from a different gen. Is this three in a row now?
This is three. Yeah.
This one has two ends.
A different gen.
I swear to God, this is a different gen. This has two ends. I loved Hannah's season. She's very relatable, and speaking from personal experience, I know it's easy to get manipulated and be blinded in the relationship you're in. She realized her situation and dealt with it better than I ever could have. She knows how to stand her ground, which is inspiring. I feel so bad that she chose wrong in the end, but I'm rooting for Tana. You just see
Tyler,
you just
and
put,
Anna. Okay.
You just put
her and Hannah.
The T. Yeah.
Yeah, I gotcha.
If he truly wants to give it another go. I'm interested to see how that plays out because I'm not convinced they're both all in on pursuing that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I am too. And one thing to point out, I think that text kind of touched on it, is I think some people think negatively of Hannah because some of the guys are scumbags on her season. Like, that's not really
and
her
she
fault.
She kept them around, yeah.
She did keep them around, but also she's being, who knows what. I mean, she doesn't have that much time with these people. She didn't know any of the Jed stuff. She had no idea. So, I mean, no. I don't blame her for keeping Jed around and making that decision. Because I don't think we saw everything. And also, it's not her fault that they were shady behind the scenes.
Yeah. Jed especially. With Luke, there were more in-your-face signs. But this is Nicole in Los Angeles. Conspiracy theory. Love that. Conspiracy corner with Nicole. I noticed they kept calling the article with Jed's girlfriend the People article instead of just the article, and remember that People has an exclusive deal with the Bachelor franchise for the post-finale cover and other profiles. It got me thinking that maybe the producers were in on Jed's girlfriend from the beginning. They fed him, they gave him a suspicious amount number of opportunities to do music-related stuff since the beginning of the show, and clearly edited the show with that news in mind, highlighting moments that made him look unenthusiastic and there for the wrong reasons. It seems, remember when he said, I love you, in the studio, and they zoomed in on his boring nonplussed face? It was like, they're making this guy seem bad. It seems weird that if he had this girlfriend the whole time and his family and friends knew, and the girl was willing to tell People that not a peep got to Hannah about what was really going on.
Oh, this conspiracy, what you're saying just keeps getting deeper and deeper. Conspiracy.
It all made sense, though. That's the best part about conspiracies. They always make sense because you can just explain everything. But really, if they did know, and I think probably they did, why would you tell Hannah? If you tell Hannah, then that kind of takes away your big ending.
No, the producers aren't going to... They're not there. They're not there for Hannah to find love. Producers aren't. Let's be real.
From what I've read about them, they do befriend the lead, and that's how they position themselves. It's like, we're here to help you type of thing. But if they know something like this, they're not going to...
Yeah. End of the day, their job is to make a good TV show, not to...
Money talks.
Yeah.
586 area code. The finale was vindicating. Having been spoiled the whole season, I knew the Jed confrontation was coming and was going to be cringeworthy. But seeing her long-suspected reunion with Tyler made my heart so full. Hannah was manipulated and deceived and truly said yes to a man that didn't exist. She deserves happiness, and Tyler is keeping his word of always being her biggest cheerleader. Despite the Luke P. baloney, this has been my favorite season ever, and Hannah is my favorite bachelorette. She came off as human, one that makes mistakes, learns, and grows.
Well said.
Well said.
Looking for another gen?
No. I'm trying to find my spot. This is our guy, Harrison. Big Harrison guy.
Big Harrison guys. Period.
Hannah was the first bachelorette I liked. I thought this was interesting. Hannah was the first bachelorette I liked more at the end of the season than at the beginning since JoJo. So not the first, but first since JoJo. It always felt like she was herself, which I agree with. Only qualm, which my wife brought up, is there wasn't enough emphasis on her and Jed, so picking him never felt like the right decision. Overall, the season felt like a bunch of idiots, Harrison's words, and I'm kind of including Hannah in this. Maybe it's an age thing since she was constantly discussing her growth, which does show maturity. Everybody's got some points here. I tend to believe the conspiracy where they made Jed look bad because they knew what was going on. But yeah, in general, that's my kind of my Luke complaint, is that there wasn't enough time to watch all of these develop like we kind of would have hoped. And as I've said in years past, they need to add at least another week to this process, add at least another episode, my opinion. This is from Sharada, last one in the mailbag. Power rank the dramatic endings of the past few years. I'm thinking Rachel and Peter break up. Rachel totally shading Peter during After the Final Rose. Remember that.
Can't forget.
Ari and Becca. Defense jump slash lack of engagement with Colton and Cassie. And last night. What was your... Give me your favorite of the most dramatic endings, AB.
I think... The moment that stands out the most to me is the Ari and Becca breakup. That was crazy.
That
was like we're a fly on the wall watching one of the most real fucking moments that you'll ever see. That was real.
Yeah. Okay, we're on to Paradise next week, so we don't have a mailbag question yet, but stick around for that. Thanks to everyone who wrote in this week and all season. We read them all. We couldn't get to them all, but we appreciate you writing in. Do you have a Bachelor headline of the week, AB?
Yes, it was a little hard this week. Oh, here it is. So I was seeing a lot of stuff about Peter being the Bachelor, and we didn't talk about that yet, who we think is going to be the Bachelor.
That's
yet.
Next. That's
Let's talk
next.
About that, I hope. Why Peter Weber won't be the next Bachelor. This is one of those ones where you click, and then it's like... It's like a PowerPoint, and you click through like a slideshow.
So a legit article.
Yeah, so this is a legit article. Yeah, that's a legit article.
Sarcasm.
Anyways, I clicked through all of it. They had some good points in there. Anything about Peter being the Bachelor, I'm not in for.
What was it on? Do you have the website?
No, it's one of those trash... I just told you, it's one of those trash...
Biz, yeah.
It's one of those trash things that you had to click through to get... You go through like two pictures, and you see an ad.
Okay, so here's what we know. Speaking of next Bachelor, we know that Mike is going to be on Paradise. For how long, we don't know. They've kept him in the background, but he's in the previews. We know that Tyler is the most eligible, most desired man in the world right now. Mm-hmm. We know that Peter is a swell guy. That's not an opinion. These are just facts. Yeah. We know that Peter is a swell guy. And
calling someone swell is such a backhanded compliment. Yeah, well, in this scenario, we're talking about
genial. Yeah. You know, we're talking about Mike and Tyler, and then you got Peter, who's like, yeah, it's a good guy. Peter, possibility, despite your headline. I don't think of any outside of those three. I don't think anybody else has a prayer from this season. Given that information, who do you think it's going to be and why? And who do you hope it is? Just give me your assessment.
I think it's up to Tyler.
Ball's in his court?
The ball's in his court. If he's going to pursue...
Kind of like Peter Krause?
Yeah, exactly. If he's going to pursue the Hannah thing or, you know, any of the number of celebs in his DMs, then no, it's not going to happen. But... if he wants to be the Bachelor, I think he'll be the Bachelor. I think he's more popular than Mike at this point. Riding the wave of electricity. What did Nacho Man say?
He's riding the edge of a lightning bolt across the sky. That's exactly. Macho Madness.
Macho Madness is.
He's riding the lightning bolt across the sky right now. He cannot be
stopped.
That's
exactly what it's doing. Stop.
If Tyler wants to be the Bachelor, I think he'll be the Bachelor. I really do. It pains me to say that, but also doesn't pain me that much anymore.
Well, because you like him, yeah.
I like Tyler a lot, just as much as Mike at this point. So I'm fine with either of those two. I think Peter would be a huge mistake.
Whoa, big time.
Huge mistake. I don't know what to tell you. Yeah, just throw a little shot at Peter.
Well, he's a swell guy.
Yeah, nice. He's a nice fella.
I think you're completely right. Tyler is so hot right now.
It's so hot right now.
That I think it's up to him. I do think that if ABC, first let me say that this is a business and ABC they don't have to have this type of Bachelor or Bachelorette or whatever. They don't have to, You know what I mean? They don't have to check any boxes. They're about making money, and most people who watch a show are white. They can, and if Tyler's more popular for that reason, they can choose him. Like, they don't, you don't have to do something. If they are, at some point, there's a tipping point where the bad PR from never having a black lead outweighs the, you know, the good sure. PR of keeping the train rolling. I think they're probably gonna have to do it at some point. I feel like if that is in their mind, it's hard to turn Mike down for a lot of reasons. Mature, smile, serve the country, good job, probably not going to be an Instagram celebrity. He's got a lot of things going for him. He's fun, really likable. I just feel like it's staring you in the face. You're never going to have a better
shot. We've said it for weeks.
Yeah. But that said, I agree with everything you said about Tyler. I think if they picked him, it would be a smash hit season, ratings and otherwise, entertainment. So I don't know what's going to happen. I don't think Tyler went to paradise, and we were upset when Mike went to paradise. But the fact is, most of the past few bachelors have gone from their season on The Bachelorette to paradise to bachelor. I don't know what's going to happen. Oh, here's the last point I wanted to make. If you want us to buy into the legitimacy of this process, it's really hard. You kind of take some air out of that when you take the second place person who really genuinely loved the lead and 2 months later whisk them off to be the bachelor. You know what I mean? It's just like, how long would it take you to get over a borderline engagement in real life?
That's a good point. Yeah, I hear you now.
It just, you kind of take some of the air out of it. So, and that doesn't, that's not a Tyler thing. That goes for anybody who gets second or third, really. That now, the you distance, go through that process and then you're the lead right away?
The distance between the bachelor, you know, the bachelorette ending and the bachelor starting is a it's big longer. Difference than the bachelor starting and the bachelorette starting, you
the
know?
Bachelor, so, the bachelor ending and the bachelorette yeah, starting, yes.
So the girl second place person, they don't have as much time as the guy second place person has. There's like half a year at that point, isn't there? They could probably get done.
They're probably going to start filming in probably a month, I feel like.
Yeah, and it would have ended in...
When 2 months ago. Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
So 3 months, as opposed to no months.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But, and it's almost, to me, it's almost just like an on-paper thing. Like, you deflate the concept a little bit.
I agree. That's a good point.
You can parse how many months there are, but it's still just like, dude, this person just got second, and you're already, we're supposed to believe they're over it?
If you were to make me put odds on it, I do like, I don't know, 55 Tyler, 40 Mike, 5 Peter, or something like that. You know,
I like those.
I don't think anyone else has a shot. Those are good percentages.
they're on point.
Those are on point percentages. I don't know what to tell you.
Batch Bracket Fantasy League. Thank you to everyone who played with us this season. More than 900 people filled out brackets. That is insane. AB, look up your goddamn score for once in your life, please. Okay. Shout out to Juliana Hope. She had Jed and came from behind to win by 2 points last night with 282, eclipsing the season-long leaders who finished with 280. So shout out to Juliana Hope. I finished with 179, not even eligible for the prize. Okay. We said at the beginning of the season, the top 127 were eligible for the prize. I think we did like 15% or something like that. I have all the names in a Google Doc right now with numbers associated with them. I'm going to randomize the names. Whoever comes out on top, I'm going to say your name. Then you shoot us an email at rosecastpodcast@gmail.com with your mailing address, and we will get you your prize. Okay, here we go.
You want my score, Rim?
Yeah, I do. Do you actually have it?
Yeah, 151.
151? Did you skip weeks?
No.
God. Well, people don't listen to us for our expertise. That's for sure. Okay, here's the winner. Brittany M. with 243 points. If that is you, email us rosecastpodcast@gmail.com with your mailing address, and we will send you your prize. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for playing. Thank you for emailing. Thank you for texting. All of it. We appreciate it. Thank you for following on social media at Roastcast Podcast across the board. Thank you for rating on Podchaser. Those have been fun to read. We're still the number two most popular podcast in the universe, according to that metric. Podchaser.com/Roastcast. Thank you for continuing to listen when we do Bachelor in Paradise. Thank you to all seven of you who listen to Recoupling, our Love Island podcast. That's going real well for us. Not quite the sensation we expected. I had a great season. I had a great time recapping with you, AB. I had a great time interacting with all the listeners. Love seeing everybody with their merch on. Just the most fulfilling season to date. Do you have anything cheesier to say?
No, just thank everybody. It's been a great season, and let's keep this thing growing, Rim.
And I agree. That's off. We'll talk about that offline, AB. But our throats are dry, so we're going to go.
Genuine thank you.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.